family, my wife Kelly, who's seated here, John, our oldest son, who just graduated from high school, Josiah, who will be a senior, and Janaea just went back for Children's Church. And we are at Purdue University, as Joel mentioned. All right, let's, Nico, go to the next slide. So something I enjoy doing, I work out at the rec center at Purdue and wear these headphones, and I like to listen to audiobooks, and often I'll listen to stuff about special forces, because I feel a lot of the principles of warfare transfer over about what they're doing, how they're thinking, how they're leaders, how they engage in battle. And I like to take a lot of those principles and think, well, how does that apply to me? And one of the things you hear about is, I think you went one too far there. Go back one. Yeah, there we go, is situational awareness. And if you think of the Navy SEALs or the Green Berets, any type of special forces, they have to have great situational awareness. If they don't, it's a matter of literally of life and death for these men and even some women who are in combat helicopters and so forth. So situation awareness is imperative. So I'm thinking, how does that cross over? We're thinking in terms of mission, missional situational awareness. What does that involve? What's going on in the world? And what's our responsibility of what's happening in the world? All right, Nico, next one. So before I go on, what's it mean if we're talking about situational awareness? Now, in one of the books I have from a Navy SEAL, he has this long scientific definition. I just stuck for the easy one. Is this simply understanding of what's going on around you? Being aware of your circumstances of life, what's happening around you. So, as followers of Jesus, what should we be aware of? What's happening in the world today? What's happening more specifically in your community? And that's something you'll be the experts on. I'm not going to share about that. But we can take a lot of avenues or things about situational awareness. But since we're serving in the realm of missions, that's what I'm going to focus on today, is what's happening in the broad picture of things over in China. We're going to talk about that, where Tim and Sandy were and are at on their way home for a little bit. But what's going on in those parts of the world and elsewhere, and then tie it into what's happening at Purdue and what we're doing as well. Let's go to the next one. Now, thinking of Father's Day, I don't have this up here. This is the Great Commission we'll get to in a minute. I just thought of something. We mentioned Father's Day and our relationship with Father God. I was in Greek class in 2004, I believe, and the Greek professor came down. There was a TA who's going to teach us, but he came down for the first class. He said, open up your Greek Bibles. We didn't know a thing about Greek at the time. And so he had us try to read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he focused the word on with God. God was with the Word. The word with is pros. And what he said was, it's God facing Jesus, his son. And that word is, they were facing each other in relationship with one another. So as we think about Father's Day, we can think of that God and Jesus, of course, their spirit, are facing each other in relationship with one another. Situational awareness. We need to be aware of that God and Jesus, Holy Spirit, had a relationship with each other. And then God sent his son, and I like to think of Jesus as our bridegroom. He's in love with his church. He's in love with us, his bride. And he wants to have a love relationship with us. It's not a matter about religion. It's all about relationship with Jesus. And in that, Jesus wants to be pros. He wants to be facing his bride. He wants to include us in that relationship. And so just before he goes up to heaven with God, facing God again, face to face, which he lost on the cross. So he's back there, up there, facing God. And he's invited us to do the same thing with him. But he leaves a command, and he leaves it in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we know if something's repeated four times, it's extremely important. And so that's the Great Commission. And it reads, I have the Acts 1:8-1, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so he mentions several places here of what we're going to do to be his witnesses, because he wants all people to be in relationship with him. So that's our overall situational awareness. God loves all people. He wants all people to be included in eternity, in the state of foreverness with him. And he breaks it down to Jerusalem, which is Sparta, the surrounding area, this beautiful, beautiful area. This is your Jerusalem. Then Judea and Samaria, Charlotte, Withville, you know, you name Boone, more of the area, other states, surrounding states. And then he has, and to the ends of the earth. I like King James, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, when I'm in Tibet, way up there, nowhere, God is there with us. You know, when Tim and Sandy are in China, they can do it because God is with them. No matter where you go, God is with you. He's in relationship with you. He's facing you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. And so he gives this great commandment to go. And I'll always be what? With you. God is with us, and he wants us to go and let the world know of his love for them. All right, next please. But in that, what's going on in the world? Population-wise, can you believe we're over 7 billion people right now? 7.1, and of course that's growing and growing. But this breaks down a little bit. I like every so often to get a book and just look at the stats. I do it probably 3 or 4 times a year. I'll get it out just to remind myself, to pray, to think about, to not forget, to have good situational awareness of what's happening in the world, where people are. And this shows you in the yellow is Asia. And we can see by 2050, that's the biggest. Lots and lots of people in Asia, and it's expanding. And if you look at Africa, that second, this was surprising. Latin America, for me it was, and Europe are roughly the same. I would have guessed Latin America, but we see here they're growing at about the same rate, and in North America, Mexico, Canada, and us, we're there in a small red. So lots of needs in Asia particularly. All right, go to the next one, please. A little bit hard to understand. I'll break it down for you. You see the rectangular area in Northern Africa, Central Asia, China, India, Southeast Asia, even you can include Indonesia just below it. This is called the 1040 window. This is where most of the unreached, 50% or less, in the dark blue, 50% or less have heard of Jesus. They haven't even heard of him. Then you have the light blue. We call that World B. The light blue is China, India, Thailand's in there, Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim country in the world. Just, they say 50% may have heard the name of Jesus, but that's it. But I can assure you, and I know Tim and Sandy, and when they come back, they can assure you, for all the Chinese, for the Thais who've heard the name of Jesus, that's about it. Brilliant people at Purdue, PhD level, visiting scholars, top cream of the crop in their countries. When you mention Jesus, they know, unless they're believers, they don't know anything about him, or very, very little, or it's very skewed or twisted what the government's taught them, what they've learned in school. Also, if you look at the yellow, that's called World C. That would include the states and the countries you see up there, Western Europe. 60% or more have heard of Jesus. But if you think of our country, how many really know Jesus? How many know him? And it can almost be a little deceptive if you think, well, that's good, 60% have heard of Jesus. But if you look at Europe, Switzerland, Western Europe, Germany, even the Ukraine, Russia, all that, Siberia, all those countries, Spain, Portugal, etc., France, they're dark. They're dark. They're just Christian in name only. But if they have a saving relationship with Jesus, it's basically like the 1040 window. And so we need to remember stats, be situationally aware. Even though you're in a Judeo-Christian Western culture, many, many people don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But in your minds to think, in that rectangular area are the masses who haven't heard of the name of Jesus. By the way, if you have questions, raise your hand, and I'll be glad to answer questions as well. All right, Nico, let's go on. Let's do one more situationally aware thing. Don't worry about reading that. I know it's small. Just look at the green. These are countries. What this is showing you is 30 countries with the smallest percent of churches, or Christians, excuse me. And you can't read it, I understand. But I just wanted you to see the green. That's all saying Muslim. Most of the least reached nations with almost zero Christians are Muslim and the orange is Buddhist. And then you see the globs of red. That just means they're persecuted areas where Christians are severely persecuted. Yellow means moderate persecution. So think of it this way, just to be aware, in the countries least evangelized usually has the most persecution. Does that make sense? So there's lots and lots of them. If you go down, just for instance, Thailand, I'll read that one for you because that's where we were. 62 million people, less than 2% Christian, 1.2% of all types of Christians. That's a Buddhist country. Evangelical is 0.03% in Thailand. So that just gives you a little idea. We're talking with Patty Stacy yesterday, and she said, yeah, I have a friend, and she told me, I don't even think about outside the U.S. You don't have to lift your hand, but think, do you ever think outside the U.S.? Do you ever think outside of your territory, your Jerusalem? We need to be. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to encourage you to be aware, to have a situational awareness as a follower of Jesus. What's going on in the world? How can I pray most effectively for these unreached areas? And I believe God wants us to have a heart, as he does. He wants us to face them in relationship and pray for them so that they can know Father. Amen? All right, let's go to the next one, Nico. So what we're trying to do is a challenge for us is reaching the unreached through international students. And we're at Purdue. There's, broadly speaking, to be aware, there's over 800,000 internationals in the U.S. today. Purdue has over 9,000 this past year, which was number three in the nation. So 20% of the student body there are internationals. And of course, there's needs with everywhere you go. And one thing we're trying to do is helping international students meet Jesus and reach Jesus. And so our vision is, let's see that in the next one, to see international students lovingly befriended, led to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and discipled to maturity for effective church planting efforts in their home country. So let's break that down. Four things is lovingly befriend. One thing we want to do is love people, befriend them, make friends with them. Whether they accept Jesus or not, aren't we called to love people, to show compassion on people? Look at our Savior, look at our Lord, what he did. Whether people believed or not, he showed compassion upon the people. And so we want to do that. We want to make friends. And then, of course, we want to introduce Christ to these people and then disciple them, right, so that they're mature in Christ and that they will effectively do that same thing in their home country. And one thing that's good about being in the States is that you have an open environment to do that. And so we can openly share Christ with people, and then we can help them grow in Christ as well. But we want to think exponentially, fifth, sixth, seven generations down, that they're sharing Christ in their home country so that others are becoming Christians as well. So one of the things, next one, Nico, one of the things we do is have Bible classes. We make it a priority to teach the Bible. Some of the classes we've done are the seven signs of John, the seven I am statements from the book of John, Genesis, Mark, and parables, surveys of the Bible. And there's a picture on the top left of, having Bible class. And then the girl on the right is from China. She's a visiting scholar. Her name is Xin Min. And she is telling me that I feel like my life is dark. And I believe one reason I took that picture is she stands straight when she stands, but she's always leaning over. And I just, in my mind, I just felt that's indicative of her life, of just being under the bondage of the enemy. And so we pray for her, and I taught her for two semesters about the parables of Jesus. And she just went back to China, and she, in the last day of class, she gave me this card. And I read it at home, and I've left it mostly. I edited it just a tiny bit, but I left it mostly like she wrote it so that you can hear kind of what their English is like. But this is what she said in her note to me. For me, life is a long journey that is full of happiness and suffering. I often hesitate the cross of the life, which she's talking about suffering, and don't know where I should go. I always want to learn what is the final truth. So, Joel, thanks a lot. I meet you, and you help me to push the door of God's kingdom. Although I can't see it clearly, I have gotten a lot from you. I've appreciated that you touch me how to live in this life. Excuse me, how to love in this life. So she's not a believer yet, but we're praying that she will accept Christ. And I'm thankful that it's not my job to convert them. That's the Holy Spirit in it. Our job is to present Christ, to plant seeds, and then let the Holy Spirit do his work. So we're definitely praying for her and hoping, praying that she'll be a believer. Next, see a couple guys facing us. On the left is Bill. He's from China. On the right is Fred from Taiwan. That's their English names, obviously. One was an engineering student. The other was aerospace engineering. And they studied 2 years the Bible with me, and then were eventually baptized. And oftentimes, it's a process. It takes time. Some people will become believers right away, but that's more the exception. And statistically, be aware, it does say that most people takes 1 or 2 years. What my job is, basically, is I deconstruct false worldviews, and I construct the biblical worldview. So you're teaching truth. And it just takes time to break down the false worldviews. Sometimes when you share truth with them, you can just see literally their jaw will drop. Just like, oh, I've never thought of that. And it's so neat to see that, to see when truth enters their life and truth begins to build in their life. And then the Holy Spirit breaks down those false worldviews. Anyway, Fred, he's now working. The guy on the right, he's working as an engineer down in near Houston, Texas. And he wrote one email and he said, Joel, when I have my interview, I'm excited to tell them that Jesus, if they ask me what's the most important thing in my life, it's my relationship with Jesus. And so he actually came because some of his friends in Taiwan, high school friends, became Christians, and he wanted to know what it was about. So here's what he said in another email. And this is kind of how he wrote it. Although I joined other Bible classes, I still want to read Bible with you. I like your teaching style, the experience and thought you sharing with me. It really inspired me a lot, and I always thinking about it in the class or after I went back home. Before I met you, I just know the name God, Jesus, Bible. I didn't know the meaning inside and know nothing about Christ, which we just mentioned, right, from Taiwan. And then he goes on, I hope that there will be more and more Purdue students who will read the Bible with you and join your class to learn the truth from you. So thank the Lord that they've had the opportunity to hear the truth in their life. Another slide, please, is Chelsea. She is currently one of my students. She's working on her PhD. She fixed this, she and her boyfriend who lived next door came over and they fixed this big hot pot soup for us at Chinese New Year time. So we were there in her house and had a great time. But several months ago, the semester before, at the beginning of the year, I was teaching her the seven signs of John in class, and we're studying the story of the royal official's son and how Jesus healed him. And then I asked them different questions. Well, what does this mean to you personally? And then one of the questions was, what does this story to say to you about the person of Jesus? And here's how she said it. And she told me she's thinking Chinese, which is obvious. But she said, quote, he helps people get back from death. Isn't that well said? Perhaps grammatically incorrect, but I don't think you could say it any better. He helps people get back from death. Just a couple weeks ago, I was helping her boyfriend who was in an auto wreck. He wasn't hurt, but I was helping him through that. And she said to us a few days later, you know, you and Kelly and family feel like family to us. You're our best friends here in West Lafayette. And then she went to John's graduation. And we were talking with some friends who are neighbors in Thailand, other Americans up in the Chicago area. Surprise us, came down. And she just started crying. And she'll do that in class. She'll start weeping. She said, I don't know why I'm crying. And I say, Chelsea, I'm not trying to manipulate you, but that's the Holy Spirit touching your heart. So she basically said politely when she came to our Bible study, she says, I'm really open in my heart to learn. But real polite, she said, like, kind of show me, prove it to me. And so we're trying to let truth, we're opening our hearts to her so that she hears truth. And it's wonderful to see her respond. So keep praying for her. We'll start our Bible studies again when I get back, and just praying that she'll respond. Okay, next. God's heart is for all people. These are just some more people that I've had the privilege, because of time, I won't tell you the whole story, but they were baptized into Christ, and the parents were baptized into Christ, and was able to share with them the story from Genesis to Revelation, what God is doing, how we're a part of history, and what. And now the man's in Oregon State, and they're believers. So sometimes we picked up with them as they were new believers and helped them to grow deeper and discipled them. All right, next slide, please. China, probably from Tim and Sandy, you hear quite a bit. China, the red arrow just means there's a lot of communists there, okay? And what I wanted you to see is the lower arrows, the 2010 area. There's about 5% Christian, probably. Actually, there's thousands and thousands of Chinese who are becoming believers. But, and again, Joel's parents can tell you, we're thankful, we're grateful. Every life is important, every single life. So we don't belittle that. We praise God for that. But thinking of the 95% who aren't, it's a drop in the bucket, over 1 billion people. And only 5% are believers in that country. So Tim and Sandy are right where God has them. They're right where there's a huge, huge need. And they're making a difference. We're making a difference at Purdue with internationals. One person at a time, and then hopefully one family at a time, one community. And that's what God calls you to do. You can be overwhelmed with the stats. You know, it's almost overwhelming. But you have to take your mission. You're downrange, right? Using military terms, you're downrange here in Sparta, and you meet people in your mission one person at a time. You express Christ's love in what you do. You share his love one person at a time, then one family at a time. And when you're working like that and you're aware of people's needs and you're hugging them, you're loving, you're praying for them, you're presenting Christ to them, they respond to that. The Holy Spirit works their heart in their heart and draws them to himself. English Corner, next, Nico. English Corner is another thing we do on Wednesday nights. I don't do a lot of Bible teaching that night. Once in a while, I'll have a Bible lesson. John has helped me for a year. He does a great job as well. He's in the bottom right corner, top left. These are mostly visiting scholars, PhD students, and we have some good opportunities to share as well. Just very quick, John was talking to one guy about a month ago. He says, I was talking to somebody else, but I heard him say, well, you can ask my dad about that. He knows about that. So I walked over here. There's microphysicists there, biologists, literally, all around me, and they're talking about evolution. And the one man says, well, what about evolution? What do you think about that? So I'll spare you the details, but I was on for about 10 minutes of how we believed in the uncaused cause. And yes, we have to have faith in God, but it makes a lot more sense in believing that inorganic created inorganic, and that's really stretching your faith. And what about RNA and DNA and on, that there's intelligence. And they're all shaking their head because they know they're in the lab literally every day looking at RNA and DNA. So they can't refute it. I said some of the great evolutionists have now become believers because they know there's intelligence. It's way beyond statistically possible for the intelligence of RNA and DNA and so forth. And I said, you have to believe in a God. There's, you know, anyway, so we talked about that, and it was just awesome to see him respond. So pray that as we're even in English Corner doing these cultural lessons, that the Holy Spirit will prompt their hearts and my heart in what he wants to share. Next, please. Here's this another gal, Candace, who was baptized recently. She was one of my Bible studies with Fred and Bill for a couple years. She was also taught by Chinese at Chinese church. So remember, when we're sharing, and when Tim and Sandy are sharing, I believe I can safely say, just knowing, it's team. It's not just us. There's a team of people who pray around us. You guys are part of our team praying for us. You're not in Purdue, but your prayers are. So it's different people working. And this gal, we're so thankful. She was just baptized in April. She brought her, she graduated. She went, her family came for a graduation. She brought them to her house. And she is another one, said, you and Kelly have been like family to us, and I want my mom and dad to meet you. And that's just a real honor. They didn't speak any English, but it was fun. Her boyfriend was there in the picture. He's close to the kingdom of God. Anyway, so Candace is her name. She's a brand new believer in Christ. And her boyfriend and her parents who are not believers back in China. Okay, next. So I was actually preparing this, and I heard this song, and I believed it fit what the Lord was saying is, wake up, O bride, the king is coming. So we, situationally aware, we are the ones who sound the alarm. Dean and I were talking about the imminent return of Christ. Christ can return at any time. And we have to work. We have to be aware that there's work to do. This, our well, that's a whole different. Joel can teach about what's happening in our culture today in America, but we have to be aware that we have an enemy who's out there. Greater is he than he that is in the world. Amen. That's true, but we have to be aware of that, and that there's much work to be done before Christ returns. We can't be complacent. We have to be. I tell my boys at the cutting edge, using technology, using those things that God gives us, resources that God provides, one another. We have to work together in love, in unity. If you have any bitterness, any unforgiveness, make it right today. Forgive whatever's wrong in your heart. And Kelly and I have to check our hearts every day too, so I'm speaking to myself. You have to make it right. There's too much to be done to bicker with one another and be disunified. We have to work together. So be aware that Christ is coming. And so the next one says there's a lot of work to be done. I've said that. Let's go on to the next one. Next one. Real quick, just want to be aware that there's 33% Christians in the world, non-religious, atheists, agnostics, those who maybe believe there's a God, 15% Muslim, 22%. Let's go to the next slide. I want to spend just a second on the Muslims. 21% by the year 2050, 27-28%. Growing, it's huge. When I say the word Muslim, raise your hand on this and be honest, because I'm going to raise mine. If not, that's cool. But how many have some fear when I mention Muslim? All right, some of you don't, some of you do. I'm thankful for the ones that don't. I do. When I'm in the pool at Purdue and there's a bunch of Egyptians around me, I thought, I wonder if one of these is a terrorist. You know, that's how we think, because 4% of Muslims are radical. And so reading a book about a preacher in Dallas, Texas, reaching out to Muslims, most Americans are afraid of them because of what's happening in the world today. And I understand that. We need to respond to some of that. But that's what I want to share as brothers and sisters. We have to allow God to work in our hearts and to love these people. Actually, in America, most Muslims are afraid of us as well. And most Christians are afraid of them, so we are not contacting them because of fear. And sometimes I'm afraid, but I think, God, if I die from a terrorist, praise God for that. Cross the line, step out on courage, be situationally aware. This could cost me my life, but isn't it worth it? I'd rather die in Morocco or somewhere sharing Christ than to sit back because of my fear and letting these people not hear about Christ. It's a misnomer. It's not true that Muslims are not responding. Thousands of Muslims are coming to the Lord. Most don't because people aren't going. So not a guilt trip. I'm not expecting you to go to Morocco. I'm not really working with a Muslim. I'm just trying to engage your mind to be aware that they're afraid of us. We're afraid of them for a good part. Ask God to deal with your heart. I'm asking him to deal with mine. To have love for these people. And if you meet one around here, ask them to your home and talk to them. Invite them. And just see what God will do with that. Does that make sense? Yeah, we're trying to be aware together, aren't we? All right, next, here's a couple pictures of some Muslims. First time in my life I was able to give away an Injil, which is New Testament work for an Arabic Bible, to a gal who came to some of our meetings at our home up on the left, and to her right is a Korean Christian, Sarah, who is also in Bible studies. And then Kelly is with a Muslim girl from Malaysia we met. We don't really have a relationship with her, but we met her in talk to her at one of the meetings. And so we're just trying to share Christ's love and at least talk and learn about them and ask questions. All right, next. Yulduz, to the left. Do you know that 16% of Muslims who come to the Lord do so out of a vision they've had of Jesus? The girl to your left is one of those. She had a vision of Jesus in Tajikistan, became a believer. She was in my Bible study for over a year the year before, as well as Ocean Yushan from China. I could tell you stories about them, but both of them were in class for a year. They also went to other Bible studies. I was able to share with them about baptism as well as other things, and they were baptized in Jesus. They're sharing hot dogs at our home. But Yulduz was at a speaking engagement at the Passion Concert in Atlanta. And she says, is there anyone here who want to give her testimony? Up walks Yulduz. She says later to me, I don't know why I did it, but I just felt compelled to go. So there she was before thousands of people giving her testimony. Then we had an atheist debate a Christian on our campus. thousands of people there as well. Afterwards, she waited. She felt like God wanted her to speak to this atheist man from Duke University, actually, here in North Carolina. And so she waited, couldn't meet him. Finally, his handlers or whatever, she said, "Can I please speak to him? I've waited. I need to speak to him." And so give the man credit. He graciously said, "Sure, let her come." So she said, "Please believe in Jesus. He's real. He appeared to me. I didn't believe him either. He's real. You have to believe in him." And so he talked with her, and he politely listened and said, "Well, thank you for sharing. That's your story, you know." But she has great zeal and boldness. Pray for her. She wants to go back to her home country. She was just in Bible college in Colorado for a year. I was one of her references, and she hopes to go back and teach English. She has impeccable English, very good English. But the other girl, I have to skip her story because of time, but she, over a year, she gave her life to Christ, and all I'll say is you could see her conscience change completely from hard face, literally, to just full of the Holy Spirit. And it was beautiful to see. All right, and they were good buddies. Next, please. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but just be aware there's a lot of Buddhist nations as well. Thailand, over 95% Buddhist. That orange all means Buddhist there. And just some of the countries that are Buddhist in the world. China has a huge population. There's not as many Buddhists, but probably as many as Thailand, just because of the huge population, to give you an idea. So a lot of countries were unreached as well with Buddhism. And next, please, we are trying to reach them as well. We have some Thai students at Purdue. I was able to give a New Testament to one of the men, Jam to the bottom right. I was able to have a Bible study with her. Kelly watched the kids as well, making some noodles. And I'm going back to Thailand for 3.5 weeks, which I'm very excited about in January. And would appreciate your prayers as I go back for a board meeting and hopefully some teaching and learning what's happening with the internationals there as well. So I'll share more with you through our newsletters as time goes. All right, next. We're almost done. Here we have a home gathering and famous Bible story time on Sundays at our house. Well, we have Candace again, people from China, Japan, and South Korea in that picture. JM is the guy to your right forward. And he said this. He sent me an email note. He's just going, hopefully, to work on a PhD. He said, "I so much appreciate your kind and warm consideration and love so far. Owing to all of your family, my life here at Purdue was much more joyful, fun, and full of the love of God. I will contact you again, and I hope to visit you before I leave." So we're thankful for it. He is a believer, actually, and a great guy, and it was good to have him around for a couple years. All right, so next slide, please. What can you do? What can I do? Interact, as we talked about, being aware of internationals in your area. I know Tim and Sandy had a Chinese live with them for a while. And there are people here that you can interact with, connect with them, pray. As you pray for us, your missionaries, we want to thank you for that. You give. You give to us monthly, and we're so grateful for that. We're 100% dependent on support from churches and individuals. So it keeps us on the field full time. So one thing I want to say, when I say on the field, you notice I said that. We are in the States geographically. We are in Asia, Southeast Asia, as we are with these international students. So you might think of us as up in Indiana, Purdue, and that's true geographically. But really, we can do our job anywhere there's international students. So we would like for you to think, as you partner with us, as reaching the nations for Christ. That's what God has called us to do. So we're reaching the unreached through international students. All right. Next. Again, thank you so much for being a part of our team, and you enable us to do that. And I really believe, next slide, please. I believe with all my heart we are making together a difference in people's lives. You see, you, Sean, and Ocean giving their testimony at their baptism. Guy on the left bottom, I haven't talked to you, from China, was able to baptize him last year. Jerry, and then Fred, I've mentioned, is being baptized on the right, bottom right. And the next slide is just some information. We'd love for you to contact us. If you want to receive our newsletter, jot down your name, first and last name, and your email address, and we send out a newsletter regularly, and I'll put you on our list. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you, Joel. If our team would come up, we're going to sing one final song this morning. And typically we would do this song as our invitational, but as we sing this morning, lyrics that are going to be very familiar to many of you, I would just encourage you to stand up and sing with us and sing these songs,
or sing this song rejoicingly, as you have just heard testimony from Joel about what the Lord is doing there in the States with these students.
So just rejoice as we sing this morning and contemplate how the Lord might use what Joel has shared with you this morning to spur you on in your spiritual life. Let's sing.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. The hour I first believed, my chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior's ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns unending. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. Set free, my God, my Savior's ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be.
Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him
who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is working within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations,
forever and ever.
catch up with Joel. And Joel, will you and your family head to the door so folks can say hello on their way out? You're dismissed.